Greetings and welcome back to Habits into Health. This is Michael Ann Conley. I'm the host of this show. We are all about learning new ways to stop feeling out of control of habits that have got you in their grip and learning new habits that support you in having a healthy life. Now, it's also possible that you don't have any big, obvious problem habits, but you might be in close contact with someone else who does. Maybe your boss or your spouse or one of your parents or a kid, even a brother or sister, a friend, a coworker. And in some way, their problem habit ends up getting in the way of your own life. Well, you may react to their behavior in ways that are not helpful for you and maybe not for the relationship. So this show can be very helpful for you as well. Since unhealthy habits usually involve shutting down in some way, this program is for you if you're ready to listen to some signals that actually are already inside you, but you may have stopped listening. In addition, a habit that is unhealthy for you might not be a problem for someone else, and the other way around. So really, this show is all about whether you can honor what's right for you, regardless of what's happening with other people. Here's a big example about how shutting down works. If you're like many people in this situation, you know how to polish up how you look on the outside. We call that looking good. But that what's happening on the inside doesn't match. And this show is here to help you close that gap. Your look good is really an attempt to stay in control of or to hide what's going on inside. And that could be depression or low self-esteem, a habit of putting yourself down. And you know what? It's really hard work to cover this up. While you're doing that cover-up, this makes you much more vulnerable to habits that are not so good in other ways, behaviors that we don't think of as self-destructive, really, on some level, but they are, and that might include putting yourself last and other people first, procrastinating, cheating, and other kinds of lying, even yelling when you're upset instead of dealing with your anger differently. You also might be like many people who are more vulnerable to serious habits that aren't good for anybody. And this includes shutting yourself down with too much alcohol or drugs, nicotine, overeating, undereating, even gambling. In these cases, you can get trapped in a double whammy because there's a biochemical problem that gets hooked in, and that makes it even harder to stop the behavior. And then that only adds to feeling out of control. If any of these examples are true for you, well, then Habits into Health is for you. But also, the show is for you if you've worked through your biggest problem habits. I want to include you too, because maybe you've dealt with the habits that were big problems, but you might not be experiencing a sense of peace and serenity that you had wanted. Or you're experiencing the peace and serenity more and more, and you just want to keep on top of your commitment. So in this show, we really try to support the whole range because we're really going toward building habits that create health in all kinds of different ways. This time, we're continuing a short series about self-help groups, and we're going to explore your social network, how many close personal friends you have or don't have who participate in your problem habit with you, even if it's not a problem for them. This particular topic is a real big one, so I'm going to start covering it this episode, and then we'll continue next time as well. Now, let's start first, before we go into our topic, with our usual Habits into Health experiential exercise. And you know, if you've been here before, on this show I say let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. We take a few moments to support you in slowing down and attuning yourself through the body. And I like to say this is a practice that grows on itself. And that means that the more that you do it, the more you give to it, the more it ends up giving back to you. In this particular exercise, I have a heads up. I'm going to invite you to do something in a few minutes, and you'll be tempted to change something about it when it comes to your attention. So I want to encourage you, rather than chasing the pull of that, practice being attentive to what actually is. Otherwise, it's kind of like there's something wrong that needs to be corrected. And that actually isn't the case. A lot of the experiential processes that I do in Habits into Health are designed to guide you to something more fundamental, and that is starting with noticing what is without making any judgments about it. So up front, the practice is to recognize what occurs rather than trying to change something. And of course, if you discover that you automatically go to trying to change something, guess what? It's a win-win exercise. You can still notice how quickly that happens. Okay, here we go. Without changing anything, just let your attention go to your breath right now. And remember, you don't have to do anything differently. How you're breathing right now is just fine. You could be breathing really fast. You could be breathing long, deep, and slow. You could be pacing yourself or really, really busy and actively doing something, and your breathing is showing that activity. It's just fine how you're doing it. And we're setting no standards for right or wrong, no good or bad. I will offer some examples, but these are just options because there's actually nothing you need to fix or correct. Imagine that. So as you breathe, just track your experience of doing this everyday, ordinary thing. And one way to track, if you'd like to try this, is to notice the movement of your chest relative to the movement of your belly. An easier way to do that is if both of your hands are free, let one of your hands rest on the center of your chest and have the other rest on your lower belly. Now, what comes up for you as you breathe? You're noticing the movement of your chest relative to the movement of your belly, but what else comes up? In my experience, many folks just start critiquing or questioning how they're doing something. Am I doing this right? Should I do this differently? If this happens for you, just be attentive to this response. You might be like other people who don't notice much movement at all in one location or another, and then you might start questioning that. So if you don't notice much movement in your chest hand versus your belly hand or in either, then just be attentive to what you tell yourself about this experience. A lot of people actually find it challenging to maintain their attention on their breath. So it does take practice to allow what is and not try to do it right or better. That inclination to fix what's wrong is so embedded that many of us don't even notice that we're doing it. And of course, it's true, you have the option of adjusting your breathing to a pace that suits your desire. But let's say if you notice your breathing is slower or faster than you'd like, or more deep or more shallow than you'd like. The really important key that ties into habit change is about practicing the habit of noticing and accepting what is, like I mentioned earlier. If you're really busy judging who you are or what you're doing or how you're thinking, there's very little space and energy left for actually changing whatever is bothering you. And that's why so many sages and teachers over the ages invite their followers and students to learn acceptance, to practice non-judgment as a vital part of the process of change. So just notice the movement of your breath and how that shows up in your chest and how that shows up in your belly. Notice any adjustments that happen without you intentionally making anything happen. And then, you know, how does doing this just for this short amount of time affect you? I'm going to invite you to continue just noticing the movement of your breath as we continue with our topic. But first, just to remind you, you're listening to Habits into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I'm a holistic therapist, and I've learned that all behavior patterns have common pathways, and some of the methods for dealing with serious addictions are the same with any problem habit, especially habits that I call hidden habits that lead to bigger behavior problems. I developed Habits into Health programs to support you in understanding what habits are all about and learning new ways to free yourself so that you can create new possibilities for your life. I invite you to come to habitsintohealth.com. You can explore the information I have there on the website. And if you're ready to take a new approach to a problem, habit, or addiction, you can ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire to get you started. Let's go on to our topic. Recently, I've been exploring different things to consider around whether self-help groups are a good option for you in dealing with a problem habit. If you want to listen to all the episodes in this series, you can go to habitsintohealth.com and search in the box on the top right for self-help, and that will bring up all of the episodes in this particular topic, plus some other articles that I've written about the whole idea of self-help. So here's what we've covered so far. Question number one is, how long has your habit been a problem? Question number two is, how long have you been trying to turn around your problem habit without success? Number three is, how big have the consequences been around your problem habit? So now we're at question number four, which has to do with who you're hanging out with, what your social support network is. How many close personal friends do you have who don't participate in the habit that's a problem for you, or who do participate whether or not it's a problem for them? Here's the issue. If the only friends you have are people you do your problem habit with or around, even if it's not a problem for them, in my experience, I'm pretty comfortable guessing that you'll benefit from making a change in your social environment. Let's tie this back to the other three questions. The first one is, no matter how long you've been engaged in this problematic or puzzling habit, it's a good idea to look around at who you're around. If everyone you're around does the same thing too, it's probably going to be harder making a change being around them, even if your common habit isn't a problem for them. And this isn't necessarily forever, but right now you'll want reinforcement for saying goodbye to the old habit. And self-help groups are a great option if you just don't know very many people who don't do your old habit. Time to meet some new people. And here's the way to test it out. If the folks you've been hanging out with know that your common behavior is a problem for you, even if it's not a problem for them, they'll cheer you on for deciding to deal with it. They won't feel threatened by you deciding to deal with it. This happens a lot around alcohol and other drugs, but also if you have food issues or nicotine problems. In fact, any habit. If the people you're around are true friends, they will even choose to not do the behavior you have in common because they'll prefer being with you. Or they won't mind if you aren't spending as much time with them to get yourself in a place where you're safe. Now, number two, this is especially true if your buddies know that you've struggled with the habit and you haven't been able to succeed. Same thing goes. As well as with consideration number three, if your consequences have been pretty light, then you might have an easier time hanging out with your old friends because their behavior won't be as triggering for you. But if you've dealt with some difficulties in your life, even if it doesn't seem that they're connected with your problem habit, your true friends are worried about you, trust me, and they are going to support you in anything you choose to do to turn it around, even if it means you're not spending as much time with them, because they love you. Plus, it's just my experience over these many years of supporting people with habits of all kinds that it's harder to change behavior on your own. And that's where self-help groups come in, because it's like the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. And that goes for people with problems as well as for people who are creating a life without those problems. So self-help groups are a great way to find people who are creating a life without those problems. What if you're in a situation where it's hard or impossible to avoid people who can't support you? Hard or impossible to avoid people who are just doing your common habit? This is a big challenge in itself. So I'm asking for your patience this week. Please tune in next time because we'll discuss this more in the next episode. For now, it's time for me to sign off. And to let you know, if you're ready to take a new approach to a problem habit, come to habitsintohealth.com and ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire. Remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. I like to say that every time. You have been listening to Habits and Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I am here to help you stop feeling out of control over your unhealthy habits and to start creating a life where you feel just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside. So thanks for joining me.